The Bird Show.
So why wouldn't the buffoonery extend to after my retirement also? Let me weave you a tale. So yesterday after the show, I have said this before here in studio also. The one thing that I'm unsettled with is these guys' futures, to be honest with you. I know what I'm going to be doing, which is a whole bunch of nothing maybe, right? But I'm unsettled with lining the... And it's not my responsible to line you guys up. I understand that. But I am deeply, deeply invested in your lives and your professional lives, right?
It's funny because your retirement plan looks a lot like our lives. A whole lot of nothing after this.
Well, I'm doing the best to try to make sure that that doesn't happen. So yesterday, I told you guys I would call around to a couple of my consultant friends that I've known for so long. And in our industry... The consultants really are the ones that can, that know where all the jobs are. They work with 30, 40 different inch, radio stations. So they know where the openings are. They know who needs a female lead, who needs a female, young female on the show willing to be vulnerable. And, you know, they just know all that stuff. So I reached out to two of them yesterday. One, his name is Tracy and the other one is Randy. And I reached out to both of them and I got something immediately back from Tracy, who was like, got it. Thank you. Give me their info. And I didn't hear back from Randy. And I'm like, the hell? I mean, that guy is usually right on top of it. I'm like, did I piss this guy off somehow? And then I checked my text this morning and I get a text back from Randy and realized I had texted a different Randy in the industry.
Of course you did.
Actually, this Randy's not even in the industry anymore, but used to be. So I will follow back up.
That's classic Bert right there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. That's how it goes. So when I was talking yesterday and I was telling you guys what my motivation is really to leave radio and start kind of a new life, I told you guys that I wanted to feel awe more often. When I got back from Scotland, I was just sitting there just realizing how small I am in this world, not just physically, but in the, you know, in the world, sitting in the world. And when I retire, this is what I want more of, more joy, more just looking at things that give me joy and make me go, whoa, we're part of this whole thing. And I have the freedom to do that. In fact, as soon as I got off the air yesterday, one of the things I started doing is like, you know what I really want to do? Like the day after our last day, I want to go see the Milky Way. I've seen it through clouds when I was in the Bahamas. So I'm starting to look at different places that on the 25th, the morning after, the last day, I may be going to Texas. I may be going to Nevada. I may be going to California. There's a place, Big Bend National Park, that's supposed to be absolutely awesome where I can stare, me and Amanda can stare at the stars for a couple of days. I can do that now.
You can do that.
That's the kind of freedom that I'm really looking for. The second thing I wanted to bring up this morning is I want to focus on two DMs that I got that really represented a lot of DMs I have gotten.
You got DMs yesterday?
Just two.
If you had to throw out a number, how many messages did you get from people about your retirement?
Well, let me just say this. It's going to take me more than a day to answer them, but I am determined to answer each and every one of them. And I'm doing that in a very calculated way. But I'd say probably yesterday, 400.
Wow.
400, and that doesn't include text message. It was a really, really, it was a blessed day yesterday. But I'm getting a lot of these, and this is what I want to focus on and have an open discussion with you guys about it. And I'm in a position to be able to do this now, but it's taken me my entire life to get here also. This one came from Alex. Heard the announcement this morning. Been a listener since moving here from California. I was 18. I'm 40 now. My girls are 18 and 20. Your retirement announcement was a wake-up call. It made me realize how fast life flies. It has encouraged me to live life more, to enjoy life more. Lately, I've been fiending for a change. I want to have the liberty to be able to do just that, enjoy my life more. Thanks for unconsciously giving me that push. This was another one. My company is about to close, and your segment this morning really pumped me up. While my job pays really well, it doesn't fulfill me. I'm excited about what this next season will bring for me and super excited for you. But there were so many of these that I thought, let's have a convo about living life here a little bit. And I'm not exactly sure what the message is, because I could have very well been sending me these kind of DMs over the course of the last 25 years. I confessed to you guys yesterday, I've been so strung out in making sure that this thing is successful and it's done in such a perfectionist kind of way that I don't know that I've really allowed myself to enjoy it. And if I could turn back the hands of time and I could work with a therapist and sort of change my attitude and change my wiring, I wouldn't live with this kind of, it's certainly not regret, but I just wish I would have enjoyed it more. And I think when you look at the statistics and when you look at lives, most people, I think, feel a lot like these two. I'm in a position now where financially I've saved up enough money where I can do, I couldn't do that a couple of years ago. So this was impossible. So is this kind of life even within reach in our country? If you want this kind of freedom and you really want to pursue your happiness, can, I guess maybe this goes back to us having the conversation of, can you have it all?
Mm. That, and that's why I'm like, I don't, I'm of the mindset, no, you can't have it all. I just don't think that's plausible. However,
and I will say this, I will answer that this way. No, I couldn't, but now I can. So yeah, I think I'm arguing on your side now.
Yeah, but I do feel like you can find ways to be fulfilled. And that's what I said when we had that discussion about, like, can you have it all? And, you know, work-life balance. And not just, like, being the best mom and the best co-host I can be, but you also want to be the best wife and the best friend and the best daughter and the best sister and the best aunt. And it's just, there's a lot of roles we play in our lives. So to be the absolute best in all of those at all times, that's just not humanly possible. Mm-hmm. There's not enough time in the day, there's not enough energy, etc. So for myself, what I am exploring is, like, this job has been my purpose and has been extremely fulfilling and is still fulfilling to this day. Otherwise, I would have bounced a long time ago. What we're able to do for our listeners and the community, and I still to this day have a huge passion for it. So I now just have to redirect and figure out, all right, where am I going to find that purpose and where am I going to find that fulfillment? And right now, I don't know.
Right. Listen to this statistic. I just Googled it really quickly. This is so sad. In January of 2025, only 44% of Americans reported being very satisfied with their personal lives.
That tracks.
That's a staggeringly low number. Isn't that a concerning number?
44%?
Yeah.
It actually feels higher than I expected. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough world that we live in. And I think the older I get, the more I realize how complicated and challenging life is. And I think the fact that even close to half the people feel somewhat satisfied in their life, I think is it's a pretty lofty number.
Cassie, where are you at with that? Because you should be miserable.
Based on what's been going on. She's a part of the 66%.
I work too much to be miserable. I'm too busy. I don't think it's possible. I just don't think the way everything is set up and the focus and the hustle culture we keep pushing into people and people's passions turning into extra revenue streams. I don't see that as a possibility. And right now, I mean, I have guilt every single day. It's either I work too much and I don't see my kids and I have guilt, or I'm feeling like I'm spending too much time with my kids and not working enough and I have guilt. And every single thing, I feel like I'm always apologizing when I'm like, this is just life. You need to stop apologizing for just existing. You're doing your best. But if I'm being honest, when I take a step back, the way everything is set up is not to support, like, this system. I'm just thinking back to, like, kids getting out of school at 2 p.m. when you're supposed to be working till 5 or 6 p.m. So either it's just one person, partner in the household working and the other being a stay-at-home parent and taking care of the kids. And then they feel like they're not pulling their weight enough because they're not bringing in income because everything is so dang expensive. You need two household incomes to even stay afloat. So I think we're just at this period where it's just grind, 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 and you find moments of happiness where you can. And for me, it's like looking at my family and just, I was looking at them all on the couch yesterday in RV and I was like, I love them so much. I'm so happy that I get to spend this time with them. And I think you readjust what your life expectations are based on your surroundings and your circumstances. And I think that's how you find happiness.
I think I've shared this with you guys before that. over 10 years ago, I mean, because I've been divorced for 10 years now, Stacy and I, my ex-wife and I, had the conversation when we were married, is like, because I was, she saw the stress on me, man. And when you have that kind of stress, or when I had that kind of stress, of course, it's going to be contagious to the rest in the family also, right? And I was having the tremendous guilt that you're talking about also. And we looked at ourselves and we're like, look, we already know that you love radio. That's not going away. But do you have to do it in Atlanta, which is a very big media city? Like, it just takes more. And we really had a conversation like, hey, you know what? Maybe I should call up 95SX in Charleston and I could do mornings there. It's a smaller market. It's a different lifestyle. It would be a different situation than it would be having a syndicated show in Atlanta. Less stress, probably. But we also came to the conclusion that it doesn't matter where I'm in, man. I could be in Boise, Idaho. I could be in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I could be in Fresno, California, or I could be in Atlanta, or I could be in Charleston. I'm the guy that's going to work and try to be number one and try to get more syndicated markets and try to get into the Radio Hall of Fame, although that's never really been a goal. The city didn't matter. It was my wiring.
You are who you are.
You are who you are.
We all are who we are. And mm-hmm. we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. And we just have to figure out what we want to see.
So, Cassie, let me ask you this as we move forward here in just a couple of seconds. If you were looking at your future self, looking at this part of your life now, and you're already feeling like you're working too much, you're overworked, and you dive in, do you think that you will look back at that time and say, I should have pumped the brakes a little bit more?
No, because it's my wiring. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of what I accomplish and what I can do. And I feel like I have a unique set of skills and it makes me feel fulfilled. But then there is a part of me, I think everyone is so dynamic and multifaceted. There's a part of me that just wants to, I mean, honestly, a dream of mine is to build an off-grid cabin in the woods somewhere that's completely self-sufficient and have a vegetable garden. I want that life as well. And it's frustrating when you have two lives mm-hmm. when I want to succeed in media. I want to launch a podcast. I want to continue to work on other shows and make them succeed. And I get so much fulfillment out of that. And then I also want to retreat into the woods and become like a recluse and live in my little cabin in the woods and just watch Netflix. And so I think the big question is when you, and this is not a unique to me. Everyone has conflicting dreams. And so the question is, how do you build a life that marries those two things right. and where you can find that balance? So for me, it's with the sunsetting of the Burt Show, I will be able to focus more on my other job, Pioneer, and building that up, but also have some time where I can launch my podcast, where I'm not going to have a cabin in the woods yet, but I will have a vegetable garden in my backyard. It might be one raised bed, but it's starting. So I think it's being intentional in seeding your big dreams and breaking off small pieces. And you might not be able to do the biggest thing yet, but what small piece of that dream can you start putting into play now? So you have that full fulfillment and that balance.
I was so excited for you yesterday when you said you were probably going to leave Atlanta.
Yeah, I am. And that's part of it too. Like it's interesting because everyone else on this show travels and I really haven't lately. I used to travel all the time internationally. I loved it. That's just what my family does. I miss checking out other cities and living other places and going on adventures. So I think this is going to open up that avenue for me and allow me to go on some of those new adventures and new experiences and start sort of pouring into my own cup a little bit. And mm-hmm. I think that's life. It ebbs and flows. Sometimes you can focus on yourself and sometimes life is like, we need your attention these other places, and that's okay too. It's just finding a way to be at peace with that ebb and that flow.
Okay. This now concludes Deep Thoughts with the Burt Show. Okay.
Get it? The Burt Show.
All right, Jackson, it's time to call somebody out here on this show. Let's mix it up, man. If we're going to get into fights, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, why not burn all the bridges that we've made over
Let's
the last
go
few
out
years?
Hating each other. We don't have to see each other every day in 5 weeks.
This is true, which is why I would like to call out one Miss Rebecca Lancaster to the stage, please. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, it's going to get heated in here.
It absolutely is, and I think that this was a long time coming. I feel like in the youth group, a lot of times.
Look at Rebecca flexing the arms today. Hey, man.
Come on, look at you with the wife beater on and your Crocs.
Look at her, man, showing the guns, girl.
Don't beat me up after this.
You are in full she, they energy right now.
You do look like a bisexual barista. I would love a coffee from, like, you make the best coffee in Atlanta, and you probably have the cutest little LaBooBoo coffee art on the top.
I was literally telling Katie today, sure, people might be asking you who's proposing in your relationship, but I am serving the man today.
Was that your motorcycle parked out front?
Maybe. Yeah.
No, her Subaru is out back.
Loki really attracted to this liquid bucket. It super works for you. It's
are you
hot.
Sure yeah. you're going to be able to get my car out of Jiffy Lube in 30 minutes? All right.
Okay, so I feel like ever since hearing the news of the show, I've been feeling a lot more sentimental about things. I feel like every morning when I've been driving to the studio, I'm like, oh man, like kind of, you know, Xing off another day on the calendar, sort of counting down the days. And it's been sort of bittersweet. And the vibes around here have been mixed over the last few weeks, yeah, right?
Tell me about that, because I'm sequestered here and you guys do a really brilliant job of not allowing me to know the stress that's going out of the studio. So what has it been like the last couple of weeks?
You know, there's been a fair mix of panic and sort of happiness knowing that this is happening, all for a good reason. And, you know, I've talked to you, we've all talked to you about, Bert, how you feel about this entire thing. And I think that's ultimately what makes the most sense. And so that does give a lot of us peace of mind. But we're all in this very uncertain time right now, so there have been mixed emotions for sure.
Look at Jackson sucking up wearing the Pioneer t-shirt now because he's coming over to the network. He's going to wear that shirt every day for the next 6 months.
I was about to say, don't talk to me about uncertainty. You're one of like two people that's still employed after this.
Three.
Yes. Yeah, so because of that, I feel like I've been, especially when it came to, let's say, last week's, we had our Bert's Big Adventure Noon to Night event, right? And we got invited to model at the show. A lot of the youth group did, which was the first time that I think we got invited to do something like this. So I was really excited. And so,
yeah, Bert felt bad for leaving. So he's like, hey, come put on some fancy clothes and hang out with some kids with special needs, and we'll have a good time.
Enjoy wearing these fancy clothes. You'll not be able to afford.
Now is a really good time to lift you guys up so I can tear you down in a couple of weeks.
Exactly. And so I feel like Katie has a lot of times been the proclaimed flakiest member of the youth group, but now the designation 100% goes to Rebecca. So last week when it came to the New Tonight Show, I'm like texting everyone, and I feel like I'm the self-proclaimed chief vibes officer of the youth group, of like trying to keep morale up and trying to keep everything kind of chugging along and moving.
So you're CVO and fish daddy.
Exactly. I need to update my resume. And so when I had heard about this, I was like texting everyone, hey, we should all do this. This will be super fun. Rebecca forgets to fill out the form to sign up for it, because she's like texting us the day before, like, was I supposed to get fitted for clothes? And I'm like, you missed the train. It's fine. And so the day of last Thursday, we're talking, and Rebecca had like not the best day ever. And she just sort of explained to us in the group text that she's not having a great day. And I was like, all right, hope you're feeling better, whatever. And about a couple hours before we were supposed to go to the Avalon for the show, I was like, man, this is probably one of the last times that we're going to get to go do like this big, fun, like Bert Show type event. Mm-hmm. So I texted her and I was like, hey, for what it's worth, I really think that you should just come regardless of if you're walking or not. And she comes back to me and says, I can't buy tickets. And I'm like, you can for sure buy tickets. And then I go out of my way to find the link and I send her the link. Here's the link. I don't have any money. I'm going to be broke. And then I'm like, you know that you are part of the show. You can just show up and I'm sure it'll be fine. No way. I can't do that. I can't do it. I don't have any money, all this stuff. And then I was like, I will buy your ticket. I will pay the $50 for your ticket. Oh, well, I'm with my boyfriend. Now I need two tickets. I need $100. And so we're going back and forth, and I feel like I'm pulling teeth, and I'm like, if you don't want to go, that's fine. Just tell me. But I would like you to be part of this.
Observation about Rebecca, question really to you guys. Was Rebecca this flaky before peen? Or is it just after peen?
I think she's been dematized.
It's 100% flake post peen.
So since she got a boyfriend, all of a sudden she's flaking.
100%.
Okay. Yeah. Is it flaking, or is Rebecca just being humble? I mean, because Jackson's right. You are part of the Bert Show. You could have just rolled up. But look at you paying attention, being like, the event's not about me. It's about everyone else. I'm not going to crash it. I think, Rebecca, you're missing it. She might be flaky to you, but to me, she is being humble and respectful. I'm going to stick up for my girl.
But didn't you show up for like the post party?
So I did show up to noon tonight. I think I was just shocked that Jackson wanted me to be there so bad. I didn't know he liked me that much.
I Venmoed her $100 to buy the tickets.
Yeah, and then the worst part was I did walk up to the counter to show my tickets, and she was just like, here's your VIP wristband. She already knew who I was.
So there's instance one, and then not even 24 hours later, Mikey was throwing a little bit of a shindig for his birthday. Mm-hmm. And he was throwing, in the most Mikey fashion possible, a little party literally on the top floor of the parking deck of his apartment, where it was just one item short of having one of those trash cans that's on fire that you'd see like in Skid Row from being his literal dream birthday party.
I saw the pictures on Instagram and I had so many mixed feelings about it. Like, had somebody told me, I would have given him a couple more dollars for a party. But it also looked like really relaxed.
It was exactly what he wanted.
It was perfect. I brought so many games. I borrowed stuff from everybody. We got ripsticks out there. Everyone was ripsticking around. It had a little scuffle there in the middle. A good party comes with a good fight. We had a little fight in there. It was a hell of a time.
It was a great time. And since Rebecca and her boyfriend are part of like the squad of people who go to trivia all the time, Mikey invited them to come to the party. And so I'm texting her, when are you showing up to the party? Then 45 minutes later, I get a text that says, oh, we're going to be late. We just ordered food. And then I'm like, okay, that's fine. Then mere hours later of a party starting at 8, around 9, we're going to be so late. Totally fine. All good. And then no show.
Oh, Rebecca.
No
Rebecca.
Show to Mikey's birthday.
Okay.
Were you with your boyfriend?
I was with my boyfriend.
Oh, no. It's the post-peen, I'm telling you.
Uh-huh. Okay, sure. AP. After peeing, I am like a little less punctual. But do you really want to know why I didn't come to Mikey's?
Okay. Well,
here comes Abby.
I'm going to throw a flag on the play. I'm going to give you a chance to retract your statements. Because remember, we've had this conversation before. This is the second time we've had this conversation about Rebecca. And you know what happened last time we did this? She told us what was really going on. And we all looked like a bunch of a-holes.
Yes, I had a lump in my breast that I was waiting for a biopsy for. That was what happened last time all you guys tried to call me out. So do you guys really want to know?
I'm keeping my mouth shut. I love my close personal friend Rebecca, who's going through a lot right now.
The real reason why I did not come to Mikey's.
Oh, Jackson, do you want to retract this?
I retract all former statements, and I would like to plead the fifth off for the rest of this.
It's because I'm a bad friend. I have zero excuse.
Okay. Oh, we are ahead.
I wanted to go. I was really excited to go. It's just the time got away from me. I got Indian at like 8 p.m. I was sitting down with my boyfriend. We got really into an episode of Portlandia. I had a tea.
Rebecca, could you be any more stereotypical?
I know. I had a little gummy that I was, you know how much Ubers cost? Like, Ubers are so expensive.
You could have just asked me to Venmo you and I probably would have done it.
Honestly, true. I even got you presents, Mikey.
You did?
I got you a birthday present.
Let me see it.
It's this tactile children's book.
Hey. I love it.
And I like bright.
Hey, I like bright. I love it. Thank you.
So are you willing to admit now and take the crown that you are now the flakiest because you got a boyfriend?
I think I accept myself to be the flakiest youth group member because Katie's no longer invited. That's the only reason why.
Well, there's something to be learned there, I think, for you, that they stopped inviting Katie because she was the flake.
I'm next on the chopping block.
So you are absolutely next on the chopping block.
I'll show up next time.
You're on The Burt Show.
So since we're here and we got the youth group in studio this morning, it was a mess at Shaky Knees this weekend, huh? And by the way, was Shaky Knees different this year? Like, did it feel, I only saw it from Instagram, but it almost felt like an EDM festival with all the lights and everything else. Or is it always like that?
In my experience, it's always been like that. It's always been really big production on Shaky Knees. It was just, it's usually not been, when I've attended, it hasn't been in Piedmont Park. Mm-hmm. And so it's felt a little smaller, but it was a great festival,
man. It looked like it, man. They did a great job marketing that thing because it looked like every party in the city was there.
Because you have Shaky Knees, and don't you also have Shaky Beats?
I think Shaky Beats, which is the EDM version, isn't a thing anymore. Because there was also Shaky Boots for a while, which was the country version.
And who were the headliners at Shaky Knees this year?
My Chemical Romance, Deftones, Black Keys.
Blink-182.
Yeah, Blink-182. Okay. Yeah, so really big names. Shaky Knees is more of an alt-rock kind of thing. So it's not quite as poppy as like Music Midtown was. But they pulled some big bands, man.
All right, I'm glad we're talking about this now on Wednesday when it was over the weekend. What's going on?
Well, there's been some big news on the show this week. We didn't have time. Well, I wouldn't know how big the production was. I got to see three songs of the one about the elephant.
Cage the Elephant.
Cage the Elephant. Yeah, so...
This is normally not your kind of scene, right?
I need to make a disclaimer there. This party wasn't made for me, but I got some tickets, so I went. We went with my girlfriend, some of her friends, and Jackson and his girlfriend. So we go to Jackson's before, apartment in the sky, having pie in the sky, having fun. The pregame's always better than the party. Everybody knows that. It was so much fun up at his apartment, and then they said, we got to go see the elephant people, so we all had to go ride down the elevator. Your ears are popping, and you finally go to the festival. You're walking through this crowd of just million people. There's no room to stand. These people have been there since like 10 a.m. I don't even know what time you can get there. But we just go straight into the belly of the beast. We go, we find a spot to stand. We see two or three songs of the elephants, and then the girlfriend and I have to go to the bathroom.
Hey, don't you know, I ask my four-year-old this every single time before we leave the house. Hey, I need you to go pee. I need you to go use the bathroom, see if any pee-pee's hiding.
Well, we're actively drinking beer, and so right before we went to the belly of the beast, went to the bathroom, yep. Watched three songs, you got to go to the bathroom.
You broke the seal.
This was the fourth pee break within 30 minutes of us leaving the apartment, having to stop, and then twice on the way in, and then three songs.
Once it starts.
You have to remember, my birthday party was the night before. I stayed up till like 6:30 with my dumb friend, and you pile on, and then your body just isn't working right anymore. You know? So we go to the bathroom and we start to make our way back. Absolutely impossible. Never even considered to just like remember every landmark around me. I have no idea how to find these people. Guess what? Phone service doesn't work. There's too many people in one spot. You can't call or text anybody. What's a fella to do? Well, I came up with an idea. I'll get to that, though. We're walking around. Now, my girlfriend, we started getting into it because she says, they're way up there. They're way up there. And I said, there's no way. They can't be that close to the stage. I know they're not way up there. I do know that there's a set of speakers in the middle, and they're somewhere around that. But it was one of those where she was so dead set on going up there that I said, okay, yeah, let's go up there. Let's see if you're right. You're really going to be eating your words in a second. So we take like a half a mile trek up to the front until she's like, oh, I don't think this is the right place. I'm like, well, I told you so. So we've walked back, but unfortunately, I couldn't figure it out either. So I was wrong too. This is my idea. By the way, we end up laying on the grass, like behind some trees for like an hour. That was basically the extent of my shaky knees experience.
That's it.
Which wasn't the worst thing in the world. I had no business looking at that stuff. So I had fun, I guess.
Your idea, though?
Balloons.
I'm sorry?
Balloons. Here's what you do. You'd go to a music festival, you take a balloon, and whenever you get your crew to their little spot, this balloon... Hear me now. It's got line that just takes it up to the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go to the bathroom. You're lost. You've been drinking a bunch of beer. Where do you go? Look to the skies. There's your balloon.
Okay. You know this is not a unique idea, right?
What are you talking about?
That for years, if you went to Music Midtown, what people did were flags. And they'd have these huge, like thin poles and like a flag so people could identify their parties throughout the entire festival.
What do you mean a flag?
Like a flag that waves.
Is that not blocking people?
No, because it's super far up in
the
sky.
Who's holding the pole?
One of the people in the group.
And that's terrible. No, nobody wants to hold the pole.
They have something really cool they use at EDM festivals now. It's like a necklace or something, and it connects with your friends, and so you use it like GPS.
It's called Totem.
Is that what it is?
And here it is. It's like basically a light-up compass, and it doesn't work on cell towers. It works on Skylink, so anywhere your friends are, it will point you in their direction. All you got to do is wear it around your neck. You don't need a balloon.
I'm going to lose the Totem. I didn't know about Totem. Never heard of Totem. Listen, guys, balloons.
And for that reason, I'm out.
Listen, it's The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Allegedly, Justin Baldoni's team was willing to go to incredible lengths to make sure that Taylor Swift was going to get served deposition papers because, according to reports, on September 15th, a process server named Justin Lee Fisher was arrested after allegedly jumping the fence at Travis Kelce's gated estate in Leawood, Kansas, in order to serve deposition papers for Taylor Swift. These were being served on behalf of Justin Baldoni and his ongoing legal dispute with Blake Lively at the time of the incident. They were believed to be inside the home. Police charges include jumping the fence onto a private residence in a private neighborhood. The public police report is limited, and it states that some information is quote unquote restricted as to use and big legal word, dissemination. So I don't know if she's been able to get served, but I wasn't aware that this was, like, I feel like there's got to be a better way. Like, can't you just mail them these papers?
Well, I feel like you can be served anywhere, but I don't think that you can trespass to do it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, wow, I feel like you could have just gone to the Chiefs. You know where she's going to be on Sundays.
Yeah.
Her man's is playing at his office. Just go knock on the door and be like, hey, girlfriend.
But how do you get to somebody that big? They have so many different lines of defense. If you were going to serve them, I think you would have to do it right through their attorney or something.
I think at some point, and I could be wrong, but I think at some point, if you're unable to serve the person in person, I think it's something like you're supposed to take out a newspaper ad and it's supposed to run for a certain amount of time and that counts.
Except there are no newspapers anymore.
That's true. What are you supposed to do? Go on Instagram and be like, hey, Tay.
Right.
I don't know in the digital world because reaching Taylor, but think of like other people trying to reach their exes or baby daddies or baby mamas who have just disappeared. Like, how do you get to them? But I don't know if you can serve an attorney. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say is like, does it just go away if they can't reach Taylor Swift? And I feel like this can't be the first time that this has happened where somebody super famous has needed to be served papers. So at some point you've got to find somebody to serve these papers to.
Who was it that was served in the middle of a stage performance, or was it
Olivia Wilde?
Olivia Wilde, that was it. Was she accepting an award or was it a play?
She was the director of Don't Worry Darling, and I think she was at a film festival, and of course she's on stage and probably talking about her film, and then her ex decided to serve her those papers while she was in the middle of it.
All right, according to the AI overview, if you can't serve someone in person, you must get a court order to permit alternative service methods, such as mailing certified copies or substitute service after demonstrating diligent but unsuccessful attempts at personal service. So him jumping over the fence, that was an unsuccessful attempt. Right. So they can present that as to we have to find another alternative.
That's just crazy to me that you would think that was a good idea in any world. Uh-huh. At what point, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce probably have snipers on their roof. Like, they're that level of famous that I would go to any lengths to protect, if I'm Travis Kelce, protect my woman, protect my household. And knowing that people are going to do crazy things like jump the fence to get to you, you probably have insane security at your home.
If I'm going to trespass at somebody's house, it's going to be the owner of the house should be my size, not Travis Kelce's. I'm not going to go after a guy that's 6'4", 260.
Absolutely not.
This is The Burt Show.